We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
So it's been a big day for the Minnesota Congresswoman and the national news. I'm Jordana Green, standing next to Paul Douglas. Susan Blanche at the helm, obviously the lead story and everything on CNN and Fox, we have those on in the studio, is the fact that Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib were blocked from visiting Israel and going to see the Palestinian territories and planning that visit.
And we should point out, too, that the president sent out a tweet. Mm-hmm. And what he said was, in this tweet, it would show great weakness if Israel allowed Representative Omar and Representative Tlaib to visit. They hate Israel and all Jewish people. And there is nothing that can be said or done to change their minds. Minnesota and Michigan will have a hard time putting them back in office. They are a disgrace. That is what President Trump tweeted earlier.
You know what I think showed great weakness? I think Bibi Netanyahu showed great weakness by kowtowing to what President Trump said right there. I think 100% that Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib should have gone to visit Israel. They would have seen the region's only democracy. They would have seen Arab judges, Knesset members, leaders of institutions of higher education with many Arab students, along with a broad range of Israeli political leaders. Now, it is my understanding that they were not interested in setting up meetings with any of the Israeli political leaders or talking to anybody with mainstream voices. They were only going to...
They were going to poke Israel with a stick in the eye,
and
basically.
And they told Netanyahu, we are going to march in an anti-territory, you know, anti-Israel event. Okay. So that's thanks for being honest.
Is that the Temple Mount?
Thanks for being honest. I'm not sure what their planned protest was.
I think they were planning to go to the Temple Mount.
Even so, and by the way, the foreign ministry last week said that it was no problem, they were going to come. And today it was Bibi Netanyahu who said, no, they are no longer allowed. I completely disagree. I think Israel would have shown great strength. They have nothing to hide. I think they should absolutely go and visit and see the truth. I think the only reason this was done is because Bibi loves Trump and Trump loves Bibi. And they want and Bibi wants to maintain that relationship and not upset the president of the United States. I believe that was the only reason that this was done. There is nothing to hide, but he wanted to maintain the relationship with the president.
Well, it's interesting. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Now, there is, of course, precedence for this. So I just want folks to understand that in March of 2017, the Knesset, which is Israel's governing body, passed a law requiring the interior minister to ban foreign nationals from entering Israel if they publicly express support for boycotting Israel. And we know that Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar are staunch advocates for the BDS movement. The BDS right. movement is boycott, divest, and sanction of Israel, trying to ruin its economy. And it is a blatantly anti-Semitic organization. It also believes in the destruction of Israel. That's in the BDS charter, that Israel does not have the right to exist. So if you look at the law that the Knesset passed, these are people that publicly express support for boycotting Israel. So there is a legal precedence for this still. I, Jordana Green, believe that Bibi Netanyahu and the Israeli Foreign Ministry should have allowed them to visit.
So this is a law that was passed in Israel, mm-hmm. but Israel, by definition, is a democracy.
Correct, of right? course. Yes, of
and
course.
And Israelis have the freedom to disagree. Israelis have the freedom to protest. Mm-hmm. And yet, if you come to Israel as a guest, as a visitor, you do not have those same rights. You don't have the right to
nope.
protest.
I would not say that's what that law says. If I went to Israel and I wanted to protest, I would absolutely be allowed to. I am not in support of boycotting Israel.
Okay.
If I wanted to go protest, there's some homelessness in Israel, I'm going to protest that, or I protest anything. But those who publicly express boycotting Israel, because people need to understand the BDS movement, Boycott, Divest, Sanction Israel, is an anti-Semitic movement that is a proponent of not having Israel exist in the world.
So they don't recognize Israel's right to exist.
Exactly.
Okay.
And that is the foundation of this movement. And I can see why Israel passed the law. Still, I believe that the U.S. representatives, the Congress people, should have been allowed to visit Israel so they can see the thriving democracy, so they can see the freedoms that Arabs and Muslim people have that are living in Israel, abiding by its laws.
And sometimes in democracy, you give voices to people you may not like.
Sure, sure, absolutely.
But that's mm-hmm. why democracies exist,
that's right?
That's right. AIPAC said, by the way, AIPAC, Israel's mm-hmm. Lobbying arm, mm-hmm. said that we disagree with Representative Omar and Tlaib's support for the anti-Israeli and anti-peace BDS movement, along with Representative Tlaib's calls for a one-state solution. We also believe every member of Congress should be able to visit and experience our democratic ally Israel firsthand.
I'll tell you this. I'm really proud of the American Jews. We don't always agree on everything. We run the gamut in our support or lack of for Israel. And we, you know, say that proudly because we live in a democracy, so we're allowed to say it. But the American Jews have, at least so far, I've seen across the board, said this is not okay. Israel is a democracy with nothing to hide. They should be allowed to go. And I'm glad for the support mm-hmm. of AIPAC that says they should be allowed to go. There have been no American Jews that I have heard that agree with the president.
And if you like Omar, and how can I put this diplomatically? This gives more oxygen
exactly.
and exposure
yes, exactly.
to Ilhan Omar.
Yeah, she gets to say, what are they hiding? Well, why can't I go?
Exactly. It elevates sort of their right. position on the global stage. Right. But again, keep in mind, I think the president is being strategic. He wants Omar and Tlaib to be the face of the Democratic Party. When people think Democrats, they're not going to think Elizabeth Warren or Bernie Sanders mm-hmm. or Cory Booker. Mm-hmm. He wants them to think, you know, the extreme thoughts, the extreme rhetoric, the anti-Israel. He wants that to be the face of the Democratic Party. He has a vested interest in that being the face of the Democratic
and
Party.
And it's unfortunate that it feels like Netanyahu is furthering that agenda. He should have thought about Israel first instead of his relationship with Trump first and let them in. You are a democracy. They should be. I understand this law, this 2017 law about you're not allowed to let people in who voice their disdain and want Israel wiped off the map. I totally get that. But they are American U.S. Congress people.
Right.
And I think they should have been able to see the truth about Israel, which has nothing to hide.
It sets a precedent. We'll see if it holds. We'll see if it stands. The other story we're following, too. Yesterday, the stock market took a dump.
Yeah, not so great.
800-point loss. Today, up 99. Mm-hmm. People, you know, catching their breath. And, again, we've heard so much about this inverted yield curve, the fact that the short-term rates are higher than the longer-term rates on bonds. In the past, it has been a signal of recession. But today, some analysts are raising their hands and saying, not so fast, that basically we have strong retail sales and that may save us. As long as people are spending money, mm-hmm. that may save us from backsliding into a recession. One chief economist at one of the New York big firms said, this is not what a recession looks like. We know. We checked. The rule of thumb for recession is 3 consecutive months of declining mm-hmm. retail sales. The economy is still going gangbusters. So, yeah, that yield curve, if it lasts for weeks or months, that can be a signal. Apparently, it lasted for part of one day. It was an interday inversion.
We had James Kahn from Wealth Enhancement Group on earlier, and he did calm a lot of fears. You can always listen to the podcast at radio.com if you want to hear what Jim said. But he did kind of calm us down, and he echoed that sentiment that no need to panic. This is not a trend yet.
But the concern I have is if enough consumers hear the R word.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, are we going into a recession? Maybe we shouldn't buy that house. Maybe I shouldn't buy the refrigerator.
Get
we can't afford the car. If we're really going into a recession. So it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Right. And we don't want that to happen. So that's why we had Jim on. Everyone calm down. Yeah. Let's take a breath and just keep watching it.
There you go.
Another trender today is the Minneapolis mayor, as you heard in the news. Boy, that was a feisty press conference. He was getting yelled at all sorts of ways. Minneapolis mayor has requested 14 more cops in next year's budget. I'm downtown a lot. You're downtown a lot. Susan's downtown a lot. I never feel unsafe walking around downtown. Maybe I'm not here late enough. I don't have my show on till 11 anymore. But I don't feel unsafe. I just walked after rent. Well, you know, my husband, handsome husband, and I walked halfway across the city to get our parked car. So Is 14 more cops, would that make you feel more safe?
The police chief wanted 400.
Yep, well, 200. Oh, no, well, yeah.
It was 400.
He added 400 patrol officers by 2025.
Right.
By 2025, you're correct, sorry.
Arredondo, yeah.
So would 14 more cops on street corners, is that the way to go downtown? Would it make you feel more safe? Our phone number is 651-989-9226. Let's take your calls next. Do you ever feel unsafe walking around downtown?
No, but I'm not here at 2 in the morning or midnight or even 10 p.m. I'm out of here at 6:30.
That's fair. I had a friend who told me, I won't go downtown anymore. There was a shooting out in the North Loop a few weeks back. And she goes, oh, I'm not going downtown. I go, well, that's crazy. There are fantastic restaurants downtown. There's so much theater.
Yeah.
There's activities. There's green spaces. Nicollet Mall's beautiful now.
North Loop.
Sports.
North
yeah.
Loop is bustling. Yep.
But would 14 more beat cops? And by the way, it's not going to be totally 14.
No.
Three would be for the sexual assault and domestic violence units, which I'm personally thrilled
That's
about.
That's a reaction to Denied Justice,
That's
the
right.
Star Tribune series and your podcast.
I'm yeah. thrilled that the Star Tribune is seeing some movement on that. And eight would be neighborhood officers that would walk a beat.
Right.
So me, Jordana, talking now, if I saw a cop on every corner downtown, I think that's great. I think that's great. I don't have a problem with that. I know other people would rather not see police, but I think, you know, the cops are there to keep downtown safe, and I do think it would deter crime. If you're a bad guy and you have a gun in your pocket or a knife or whatever you have and you want to rob somebody and there's a cop on the corner, you're probably not doing that.
But is that really realistic? I just in a day and age when we have cameras, why can't we monitor every street corner with cameras, and if something looks out of sort,
But then the crime is already committed. The crime is already happening, and then you just go and find that person. But if they have a hoodie on, or if their face is obscured, they could get away with it, and the crime is happening. Instead of prevention, this is crime prevention when you see a cop.
Well, they know, obviously, the city of Minneapolis knows where these crimes are being created, where they're taking place, and so they can be strategic. Do you need a cop on every corner? I don't think so. I don't think that's realistic or feasible. But in the high traffic areas, especially late at night when the bars let out, you know, people are inebriated, many of them, and it's easy pickings, right, for people that want to go in and steal.
Yeah,
it makes sense to have more people there, but throughout the entire city, I don't know.
What about you, Sue? You walk around downtown, and you have friends that don't like to come downtown as well, true?
Yes, that's true. I think in the area, like on Hennepin, First Ave North, we should have more cops on patrol on every corner. Yeah, you don't scatter the whole downtown area. It's in the area where the restaurants are, the theater district,
the bars,
the sports arenas. I just think by having a presence there that there would be more deterrent in crime. I have known people who have had children, well, they were adult kids, who've been beaten up off the light rail when they were let out over by the Gay 90s area, over by the ball stadium.
Yeah.
By Target Field. I know two people who've had their kids beat up. There.
Really?
Robbed. Yes.
Robbed for money.
Wallets. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
You know, after bar close.
Yeah.
It's just, I feel it when I get off work sometimes at 10, 11, midnight, 2. You know, I get off at all hours of the night. And I can tell you, it is a different feel down here after 10 o'clock at night.
Would the cops on the corners help you?
No, because I don't think we need cops in the corners up here where we work. And I am very alert. When I leave the building, I am on high, my little radar's up everywhere. But down in the district where the restaurants are and the theater district and the sports arenas, yes.
Okay.
Because
that's
I will tell you, I drive through that area to go home. And I see a lot of high school age looking kids who are just out there mingling around. And it's like, what is a high schooler doing downtown? They can't afford to eat at the restaurants. They're not at the game because the game's going on.
Yeah.
What are they hanging for?
I remember New York City in the 1970s. It was seedy. It was dangerous. you know, 42nd Street was just a toxic mess. Mm-hmm. And they cleaned up the city. They hired more cops, but they also instituted technology, cameras, real-time monitoring. I still think that some combination of more cops on the beat in strategic areas, you know, consistent problem areas, mm-hmm. plus some of this new tracking technology, cameras, that there's a way to kind of fill in the gaps with cameras.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I hope the mayor gets the cops. I hope we get more cameras. And
maybe
I hope more people
come
signs
up
too.
That say this
You're
area
on surveillance.
Is
yeah.
on 24/7
yep.
surveillance.
Yep, that's true.
Maybe that would deter.
Yeah,
I'm thinking
Could
drones.
Oh,
that
yeah.
that have the ability
right.
to
now
have little tasers, you know,
that's
drones.
Cute. All right, he's done.
What?
All right, we're done.
Come on, somebody's
got to
think of this
we're
stuff.
We're done. Yeah, thanks for thinking. Think of it during the commercial. Right now, we want to go to an update from training camp. Mike Max was at Vikings training camp. Do you have that pulled up, Sue?
I do have it ready.
All right. He was.
You want to talk more about the drones?
Well, you know, I don't. I want to talk more about the Twins, and I want to tell you that Mike Max's report earlier by Giants Ridge, so thanks for the Twins report on that. But now he went to Vikings training camp, and Mikey's got an update.
Among the people trying to make it for the Minnesota Vikings in training camp, perhaps the best name, Hercules Metatafa. He had a good first game for the Minnesota Vikings, played well. He's a defensive stopper, knows that he needs to be athletic and move well to get it done. That's part of what training camp is about, to prove what you can do on the practice field. But in games, you need to be able to make plays.
What was that like, game action the other night? How did it feel to you?
Yeah, I was excited to be out there. It was the first time in 2 years since college. And, you know, I took a moment to enjoy the moment, my first NFL game. And, you know, I just... try to take advantage of the reps I was getting out there.
What was it like when you were presented with some opportunities to make plays?
You know, that's what I'm in there for, and that's the way I'm going to be able to make the team, just be able to make the plays I can and, you know, don't fold in the pressure.
You move pretty well. What was your offseason like? How do you get to that? You know, you got good quickness and, you know, you react well. Where does that come from?
You know, it's just always how I played, and, you know, I think that's what our coach is like. And I'm just keep doing what they're telling me to do, and there's nothing more than that, and just playing hard as I can.
Who do you learn from on this team? Who are the people you try to watch most closely?
You know, we have a room full of all pros, pro bowlers, you know, just learning from everybody. Everybody in that D-line room is really helpful for me and the other younger guys in the room, too.
Hercules is his name. That sounds like a football name. With the Vikings at training camp, I'm Mike Max, WCCO Radio Sport.
Oh, Jure.
5:35. Thanks for hanging with us today.
We got a few news nuggets. Keeping an eye on what's happening in China. China has sent large numbers of paramilitary forces close to the border with Hong Kong.
I'm nervous about that.
Yes, apparently media in the Chinese city of Shenzhen saw uniformed members of the People's Armed Police Force. And they had riot shields and batons. Numerous semi-militarized vehicles stationed at the city's Bay Sports Center yesterday. Some believe this is intended to send a message, Jure, to protesters in Hong Kong to shape up. The People's Armed Police Force, 1.5 million member paramilitary force that the government of China regularly deploys to quell protests within its borders. Thousands of these officers waving red flags, along with armored vehicles, assembled at a sports stadium in Shenzhen. The incident comes as concerns mount that China may intervene to put down pro-democracy rallies now in their 10th week. I found it interesting. A bipartisan leaders of the House Foreign Affairs Committee released a joint statement yesterday warning China against a military response.
Yes, please.
They said, quote, 30 years after the Chinese Communist Party's brutal massacre of peaceful democratic protesters in Tiananmen Square, we are concerned that China would consider again brutally putting down peaceful protests. We urge China to avoid making such a mistake, which would be met with universal condemnation and swift consequences. And they actually turned down, the United States wanted a couple of destroyers wanted to dock in Hong Kong, and China said no. One of them was one of the destroyers that my son was on just a couple of years ago, the USS Lake Erie.
I got chills hearing that.
So good grief. Well, we just hope the cooler heads prevail here.
We certainly do. Here's this crazy story out of Wisconsin. You heard a little bit about it in the news. A Wisconsin fugitive wanted on child sexual assault and child pornography charges, hid out for more than 3 years in a makeshift bunker. But he, look, the guy's a bad dude, I imagine. He's wanted on these charges, so he's not convicted yet. But he was clever. He had solar panels on the thing. He had a pedal, like a bike generator.
For the cloudy days, so that he could generate electricity, a little pedal thing.
I mean, it was decked out. He said once the charges happened against him, he started stockpiling things to bring into this bunker. And what happened was a few months ago, a hunter near Wausau found the bunker with a log door carved into an embankment. So it was like, it was very Little House on the Prairie. You know, they had that, the house under the, it was like built into a bank. It was like under the moss.
Right.
Yeah, it was under the moss. So it wasn't an actual structure, but it was built underground. Well, the hunter became curious and returned to the bunker the next day to see what was inside. He said the door was unlatched. He just walked in, and there he is. He goes, I saw canned foods, little storage boxes. He walked around the corner, and he saw the dude laying in his bed, just chilling there, laying in his bed. He said, I started shaking. I went out, and I called police. There was a 20-minute standoff, and then this suspect of child sexual assault and pornography charges was arrested. But the case was, like I said, as the case was moving through the court is when he began building and stockpiled this bunker. But he was there for 3 years. The bunker was small enough, experts say. It stayed warm in the winter and cool in the summer. And I guess he would just go out and get food when he needed it. But he did have, you know, some canned meat and things like that. Storage
God, can
boxes.
You imagine? No bills.
Are you kidding?
No bills for
the cops,
3 years.
The cops said not only was he surviving in this structure, but he was thriving. Like they said, he had a whole setup. And Sue, did you say there was an antenna? Because the dude's watching TV.
There was a cardboard box of a antenna.
Yeah.
For, you know, local TV.
Dude was probably watching TV.
Well.
Remember, he was on a 100-
He'll be watching TV in prison.
In prison,
now, so.
Yeah. He was out on $100,000 cash bond, was due back in court. He is due back in court now on September 16th. And his attorneys didn't call us back. Didn't respond to media inquiries.
I'm amazed.
Crazy, right? That's a crazy story.
Jor, are you a PC or a Mac? What do you prefer?
I work on a PC at work, but I have a Mac at home.
You have
and
a Mac
I,
at
I have
home.
An iPhone, and yeah, I'm partial to that.
I go back and forth between both worlds. Mm-hmm. Love them both.
I go both ways.
Hopefully, if you have a MacBook, if you're using a 15-inch MacBook Pro sold between September 2015 and February of 2017, you may have trouble taking that MacBook onto an airplane.
This is crazy.
Some of the machines have batteries that have been recalled because of a fire risk. And the FAA now says they are not welcome on board.
Like, remember when the Samsungs were exploding?
Yeah.
Those phones were exploding?
Yeah.
You weren't allowed to bring it on an airplane. I don't blame them.
The FAA states that lithium batteries recalled by the manufacturer vendor must not be carried aboard aircraft or packed in baggage unless the recalled product or component has been replaced or repaired or otherwise made safe. So here's the deal. Apple is giving eligible consumers various options how to have their batteries replaced, including going to an Apple retail store or working with Apple support to mail their laptops in. But, yeah, that's, you know, almost a two-year stretch. If you have a 15-inch MacBook Pro, you may have an unpleasant surprise when you go to TSA.
Good to know. I mean, now
know.
So just head on back to the Apple store and get that worked out.
Get it fixed.
Yeah.
Replace that battery.
How much more do you think your boss makes than you?
No, I wouldn't know where
to
begin.
It's a lot, by the way. It's radio, so we don't make that much.
10 times? 20 times?
And that would seem legitimate. In fact, top U.S. bosses earn 278 times more than their employees. This is crazy. Crazy. Chief executives at U.S. top companies took home $17.2 million in pay last year. That's 278 times the salary of their average worker at their company. This is unbelievable. Between 1978 and 2018, the average pay of bosses grew over 1,000%. So the CEO of your company, his salary jumped over 1,000% in the last 30 years. Well, far outstripped the typical salary worker, which when you adjust for inflation, grew at a rate of 12%. I mean, that's insane.
Houston?
Like, I mean, that's really insane. Like, all things being equal, great. Bosses should make more money. If you create a company, if you're a CEO, you're really smart, great. But 1,000% to 12%?
Is anybody worth that much?
Houston, we have a problem.
We do. And by the way, many of the U.S. richest businessmen know that there's a problem. See the inequity. Ray Dalio is a billionaire founder of Bridgewater, the world's biggest hedge fund. He warned about the gap between rich and poor and says it is a national emergency. So these guys are calling it out. They're calling it like they see it. And look, we don't try to begrudge anybody their money. I'm a capitalist. Make your money.
But capitalism is not working for everyone. It's not working for
Correct.
Enough people.
And we can do better. Now we know better, and we can do better.
Jor, we had this in the 3 o'clock hour, and conspiracy theorists will go nuts with this. Mm-hmm. But an autopsy found multiple broken bones in Jeffrey Epstein's neck. Of course, Jeffrey Epstein accused of, you know, heinous crimes with young women, sex trafficking.
Shouldn't walk among us and doesn't any longer.
Listen, they did an autopsy, and according to people who know people, the bones broken in Epstein's neck included the hyoid bone, which is near the Adam's apple. This can happen in people that hang themselves, especially if they're older, according to forensic experts. But listen to this. Here's the big but. They are more common in victims of homicide by strangulation, according to the Washington Post.
So you think he was murdered?
Was he strangled? I would not in a minute rule that out.
I mean, the
that
line
somebody got to him
would have been around the block for people who wanted to kill that guy.
Of course.
Yeah, right? Like, everybody wanted him, even people who are outraged, people who don't know him after what he did, allegedly. But
one of the fathers of one of those young women? I mean, yeah, you're right. They'd be taking numbers.
Taking numbers. So good luck trying to find that out. But one would assume there was some surveillance video in the prison.
You would think so.
Mm-hmm. Let's take a look at that,
we'll
folks.
We'll see. Sure, you're an illegal alien, right? You're from another world.
I feel that way.
You're from
I look around and I think, really? This is what we're doing here? Really? Is this real life?
You were sent here just to monitor us?
I was.
Right?
Yes. I'm going back to my home planet.
And when we make some sense and when tempers cool down, then maybe the aliens will
let my people know it's safe to come.
It's safe to come.
It's like
Disney World for aliens.
They've come to their senses, yes.
You remember the guy that started the Facebook page basically saying, let's storm Area 51 in Nevada. Let's get them aliens. They
can't
stop all
of us. My 13-year-old said, Mom, I'm going to Area 51. I'm like, you're not.
It was a joke. Mm-hmm. It was satire. It was a parody, mm-hmm. but people took it seriously. Over 2 million people signed up. Well, anyway, that same guy worried that the Air Force may respond to any people trying to get over the fence and rush the base. That could end very badly. So he's trying to turn it into a music festival.
Oh,
it's called Alien Stock.
Oh, I kind of love that.
Not Woodstock, Alien Stock.
I kind of love that.
Set to take place September 19th to the 22nd. We're aiming to establish something unique here, a meeting place for all the believers. Come out to the desert to dive into a world full of live music, arts, camping under the stars. In Rachel, Nevada, a town with a population of 98.
Oh, so
one
it's not
motel.
At Area 51.
No, okay. No, you will not get anywhere near Area 51. But he's trying to pivot and say, hey, come on, if you're coming out, we're not going to rush the base. But we're going to have a music festival.
Who's playing?
There was one act that I didn't recognize. But maybe, I don't know, you would think that maybe it's like Burning Man.
An alien theme. I don't know.
But I guess the nearest gas station is 50 miles away from Rachel, Nevada. So they say, if you come out, you have to be self-sufficient. Bring your own water, your own food.
Oh, boy. Good luck. Your own drugs.
Could wind up like remember the fire festival? That debacle?
That was
where people showed up, they spent big money, and showed up.
I watched that documentary.
It was an amazing doc.
It was supposed to be on Pablo Escobar's island, and they promised all of these incredible things.
If it sounds too good to be true, it probably is.
Ended up giving them cheese sandwiches with a couple of mattresses on the ground.
Yeah, a few tents.
It was a disaster.
Yeah, it was.
Like,
it was
literally cheese sandwiches, so I know. It was completely insane. So Paul is having a fun experience tonight. One of your friends or you.
It was a charity event for Pinky Swear, mm-hmm. and so we bid on with some other couples. We're going to have a gal over tonight who has been on one of Fox's cooking shows. She's 16.
Right.
And she's a chef, and she's a YouTube influencer, and she's doing amazing things. You should see the menu she cooked up.
I can't wait.
16 years old.
I can't wait to hear about it.
I was still in diapers when I was 16.
So she's making dinner for you tonight at your home.
Yes.
With a bunch of friends.
Right.
Fantastic. Do you have any idea how many followers she has?
I don't.
It's probably in the millions.
But she's got a lot of followers, and I'm hoping we can get her on the show tomorrow.
So we're hoping to talk with her because, honestly, nobody wants to be, as Paul said, an astronaut anymore. They want to be a YouTube influencer.
When did that happen?
How did she do it? What's going on? Maybe I'll start following her. My kids love those cooking shows. Maybe they already do. So hopefully, I hope the meal is great tonight, and I can't wait to talk to her tomorrow.
All right. We'll give it a shot. Thanks for tuning in, everyone.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.